Hello, and welcome to episode 3F24. The name is?
El viaje misterioso de nuestro Homer.
That's right, the mysterious voyage of our Homer. Original air date, January 5th, 1997. I'm Josh Weinstein, executive producer, showrunner.
George Meyer, co-executive producer, I think, on this one.
Talent scout, Matt Groening.
Jim Reardon, director.
And there we have two special guests in our audience, our kids, my kids, Molly and Simon. Do you guys yell hello?
Hello!
Say hello.
Hello.
They were not born when this episode was done, but now they are just getting to the age where they're enjoying The Simpsons, so it will be a thrill to hear what the young audience thinks about this. So anyway, should we talk about the... Now, as you've heard on some commentaries, at story conferences, sometimes people came in with really well-worked-out stories, and this was one of them that came from George.
Yeah, I was interested in doing a story that was based on the books of Carlos Castaneda, who wrote about mystical experiences he had with a shaman in Mexico. And I thought it would be fun to put Homer through an ordeal like that. And so I pitched it out, but it at the time seemed a little bizarre to people, I think.
I loved it, and everyone else in the room was freaked out by it, and like they got very quiet because it was pretty crazy involving hallucinations.
We always said like in every year, we always wanted to do a few episodes that really pushed the envelope.
But and George pitched this like 3 or 4 years right before we did it.
Yes. And I think you actually resurrected it and we dusted it off. And then Ken Keeler wrote the script for it and did a great job.
That's I love Homer's dance, by the way. That's hilarious.
He's done that about 20 times since
the show.
The dance is so silly.
It really is. So, I mean, what's your question?
Why does Homer kind of have googly eyes?
Matt?
What?
Why
what's
does
the
Homer
question?
Have googly eyes?
Does he have them? Sometimes. Sometimes. He had big eyes, that's for sure. Jim Reardon could answer that. What's going on?
It's silly.
The bigger the eyes, the more acting you can get into the eyes for a cartoon.
That's it. Now, George, did you... I can't remember when you first pitched it. Did it have the chili show?
Yeah, I think it had the chili cook-off in it. And I remember the idea of having him drink the wax to protect his mouth against the chili peppers, because I wanted to do a mystical experience that was not launched with psychedelic drugs. So I thought, well, what could I use? And then I thought, really, really hot chili peppers would be a good stand-in. So we did this chili cook-off.
Did you have to do any research by going to actual chili cook-offs at all?
Or? Oh, my, yes.
But I remember the design for the chili, too, was a big deal. And it was really
pepper,
cool. Because
yeah.
I think, did we say, like, make it look like a tiger or something like that? Or
That sounds plausible, yeah.
So. Yeah, the chili pepper itself looked really cool. It had this crazy zigzag pattern on it. And it was kind of glowing. And
knocking back a few refreshments.
Thank you for your concern, Helen. Homer isn't drinking today.
Oh. One of the things that's funny to me is that we go to a lot of trouble to set up the idea that Homer's going to drink too much, and then suddenly it veers off, and Homer becomes this connoisseur of chili that everyone's afraid of and wants to impress right here. And there's really no setup for it. You just have to kind of buy it.
It's a good way to get them in, and it makes the Marge story work. Nice.
Yes.
Oh, man, he's here. The dude with the fireproof stomach.
Oh, spoons. He said he carved it himself from a bigger spoon.
Five alarm chili, eh?
Mm-hmm.
One, two. Hey, what the big idea?
Oh, I admit it. It's only two alarm.
That's very funny.
Thank you. Thank you for breaking that lull, Molly. That's very good.
We should have had kids coming to these a long time ago. Oh, there's another wristwatch, animation wristwatch that appears and disappears at will.
There's not many mistakes in it.
Well, it's just a long animation tradition. Bugs Bunny has one, too, and everyone sees the time, and then they just pop off.
Now, let me ask you, Jim, because this is an episode that's really crazy in animation-wise, where we go to places we've never seen before and a lot of amazing stuff. What did you have to do to prepare?
Oh, it was very difficult. I said to David Silverman, "You want to draw this?" He said, "Okay." David, as soon as he read the script, he was really interested in doing Homer's hallucinations in Act 2. So,
and I remember it's also the first time we ever had live action as well in the show with the clouds.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's sort of action, and the we'll get to it in Act 2, but I think the butterfly is computer animated as well. But yeah, there is.
It rattles.
Yeah, they're really good sound effects in this show, the rattlesnake.
Yeah, you should listen throughout. There's some amazing sounds by Travis, especially once Homer eats the chili and goes off. There's some amazing, we'll note them because they're really special tricks that Travis pulled.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see a wise guy eat a really hot chili pepper, you know?
Yeah, that's the kind of joke that plays around the world.
Yo! Oh, my God, burn it up! Beer! Beer, give me some beer!
Homer! You promised you wouldn't drink.
But I need it!
I feel so bad for Homer in this, too. He was really trying really hard. What else is he going to do?
I like that there's a candle burning, even though it's midday.
Also, Ralph is very smart and helpful in this episode.
Yes. The voice of reason.
But it's fire.
It's fire. Well, he doesn't drink the fire, just the wax. But I remember when we discussed this idea, did you originally come up with it? The wax?
I think so, yeah.
It seems so plausible, because it seems like you ought to be able to do that for anything, like smoking or anything else, and to protect yourself.
I like how he sort of had to keep his mouth half open.
Well, we had to write a special mouth chart just for a couple of scenes that he could do dialogue with his
really?
Mouth.
Oh, really? Wow.
Open. It's the wax mouth chart. I don't know if we've used it too often since.
That's amazing.
They're worried.
Yeah.
They are.
They're so worried they're frozen in place.
No, that was, I remember that was a controversial joke.
Oh, that, yeah.
We kept it. What the heck?
Whatever that is. My finest hour. And Marge wasn't even here to see it.
Now that sound, the stomach sound, we tried really hard. It's like, how are we going to get a stomach sound like that? And that actually was Dan. He made his own stomach.
Really?
Dan Castellaneta made his own stomach sound.
How did he do that?
His stomach sounds funny.
It is funny. It's really good. Now this sequence, again, this was the early days of the mid days of the 90s with computers, and we wanted, Bill specifically had something very specific in mind for that sound, and so he built it just on his Macintosh and said, Can you guys do that? And they're like, you know what? You did it better. So that sound effect was what just Bill built on his Macintosh.
Oh, really? Wow. I didn't know that. I love that.
I can see Silverman in that.
Yeah.
It's Silverman and Ralph Steadman.
Well, I was pushing to get David a special credit of, like, psychotronic animation for this episode.
He smashed through a gate. I guess he had super chili powers.
Yeah,
now,
it was
this
a live
is beautiful
action,
yeah.
And amazing. Any special tricks for that? Or just
well, as you know, David couldn't be here today, but he said he had just bought his first computer stand setup, so he was able to test all these scenes, animating them himself. Instead of, you know, normally we do the key drawings and it's sent overseas, but he didn't want to leave anything to chance. So that's computer animated there, the butterfly.
So that's probably the second
after the Halloween show, yeah. Right? But really, he wanted to do as much of this as by himself as he could, and I said, "Be my guest."
It's really magnificent.
It is. And it's also the combination of, because Jim, there are very distinct things that you do too, especially Homer being dejected or puzzled seems like a real specialty.
Well, I'm often that way in real life.
So. That you combine with Silverman, is like the ultimate.
This is a great bit.
Sunrise, sunset, sunrise.
Why does the sun dust that?
Because he's gone off into a mystical world where very weird things happen. Note to self. Now, George, do you want to talk any more about Castaneda? Because he, a lot of his stuff, sort of, I never read him, but I gather has a lot to do with the things that he taught and about the teachers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I first ran across his writing in Esquire magazine, of all places. They had an excerpt from his first book, which I think was called The Teachings of Don Juan. And he talked about going into these alternate realities where you would meet a spirit guide. And I thought it would be cool to have a coyote and have... one of the members of the Highwaymen do the voice. It turned out it was Johnny Cash, but
Kris Kristofferson would have been okay.
Which was really an amazing thing that we got Johnny Cash.
Was one of the greatest coups this show has ever had.
He must have been in our top choices, and I can't remember if like one of the other people might have been Bob Dylan again. I can't remember, but I know that he was like, oh my God, if we could get him, that would be the best thing ever, and we did.
Pretty doggone cool. And I think he recorded it on Super Bowl Sunday. Is that right?
Is that right? I think Bill directed him. He said he was he was a gentleman and he really got it and he laughed. And part of Castaneda, though, about spirit guides is they'll take animal forms. Right?
Yes.
So that's.
That was a good sound effect there when the turtle nodded its head.
Oh, also one thing I missed, the sound effect when he kicks the turtle, it's actually a gunshot, a muffled gunshot.
Oh, really?
What hat? Ah, this baby is wasted on an idiot like you. Where's Homer?
Your father decided he'd rather come home in a taxi. Or a police car.
One other change we did is, because this is Homer's dream, we did rendered backgrounds, so they're not flat colors like we normally do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
It was different.
Marge? Marge!
This is great.
Yeah, this rotate. Now, is this a tricky...
The trick is to do a rotation drawing of the character, but then you have to match the pan speed or it doesn't look right, so we have to do a couple takes on it to get it.
Yeah, it was a neat, spooky effect, especially this was very strange.
That's what I love about this episode. It makes you feel otherworldly, sort of.
It's a real departure from the tone of most of the episodes.
The greatest voice in American history.
That's a man named Johnny Cash, who was a great musician.
Did he do many other appearances in film or TV after this one, or was this one of his final ones?
He did that one, Bosom Buddies.
No, I speak of a deeper wisdom. The problem.
No, I don't think he... I don't know of any other cameo he ever did.
1,000 thoughts at once.
Yeah, that's me, all right.
Clarity is the path to inner peace.
But what should I do? Should I meditate? Should I get rid of all my possessions?
Are you kidding? If anything, you should get more possessions. You don't even have a computer.
Who designed that coyote? Jim Reardon is looking it up right now, folks.
I like that joke where he's gnawing.
I love that we made Johnny Cash make gnawing a guy leg sounds. And he did it. No complaints.
It was either Joe Wack or Scott Alberts. They were doing most of the character designs to that point.
I like it because it's very distinctive.
We wanted something graphic, universe. You know, that's kind of hard-edged, more than we would usually do.
A profound, mystical understanding.
That's it?
Well, you know, having designed the characters originally... I can see certain characters have a little bit of me in them, but there's no way in a million years that I would ever be able to design a coyote that looked like that. So to me, that's really cool.
I think we said make him a little slightly out of our universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had just more of a squared off quality.
Yeah, we didn't want no curves.
Now, we love this, too, because it's like the beginning of Soul Train. If anyone ever watched Soul Train from the 70s, it had an exciting space train.
Hey, get off the course, you bum! Security!
Homer waking up here on the golf course seems like a little inconsequential little moment, but it's actually based on a real story that happened to a very good friend of ours where they woke up one morning on a golf course. You can guess how they might have ended up there the night before, but the amazing thing about the story was this golf course was located in a different state than the state our friend remembered himself being in the night before. And so he woke up on the golf course, had no idea where he was. You can imagine how he got there. And he actually had to walk to a 7-Eleven and buy a map where he discovered he was in a different state, and then actually had to walk all the way home a few miles across the state line to his friend's house where he last remembered being. And we always thought that it sounds like a very Homer-y style story, so we put it there just like a little 5-second moment, but there's a story behind it.
Honey, I didn't get drunk, I just went to a strange fantasy world. Come on, you gotta believe me. You're my soulmate.
Don't soulmate me!
Okay. That coyote said my soulmate would understand me. But Marge doesn't understand me at all. Maybe we're not kindred spirits. We don't have anything in common. Look at these records. Jim Nabors, Glenn Campbell, the Doodletown Pipers. Now look at her records. They stink! Oh, maybe I had that crazy dream for a reason.
That, why does Homer, why does Homer, he has, his hands are connected to his arm, and he doesn't have his...
Oh, he doesn't have wrist?
No.
How, Matt, you got an answer for that? That's a good question.
Where is he?
You'll find out. It's a joke, see, because you think that he's in a doctor's office, but he's really at a furniture store. All-night furniture store.
Let me buy you a beer. Okay, but I'm not...
What I like about this episode, too, is like that we cop... When you say Homer needs to find his soulmate, we cop to it right in the beginning. You know it's going to be Marge. You know it. But it does... It's actually believable that, well, maybe it's not. And he's sent off on this little quest.
Yeah, that was always a tough problem with the story, was... How to make it suspenseful.
This is a weird episode.
It is. It's very unusual. Well,
so
and that's why we
look
like
for
it.
Suspenseful and settled for weird, I guess.
This is a great little run, too.
No, I don't like that. Or that. No, it's not that I'm afraid. I'm going to hang up now. Bye-bye.
It's very, you can imagine. I like this, especially now, because it's like Johnny Cash talking from heaven.
This is just your memory. I can't give you any new information.
I thought that was a good joke.
That is. See, this to me, this is perfect Reardon posing and animation. I've seen it in a couple of your episodes, just where Homer's sort of sad and thoughtful.
Well, thank you. So.
Yeah, it's beautifully done. This was great with the fish. And then the signs coming in was...
Those are the trickiest shots, because you got to shoot each pass separately and just hope that the... And they all fit together in the right timing.
Yeah, it really worked nicely. How did we pick this song?
I don't remember. I thought it came from you.
Maybe it did.
It's the second song in the history of Simpsons about being 17. I love the animation on this, too. Yeah. Made me want to move to a lighthouse.
Man in the world. He'll understand me.
So, of course, Homer runs full tilt on the lighthouse.
Starfish is stuck to his head.
My new friend's name is Earl.
I have a question.
Uh-huh, what's your question?
How could his neck?
Uh-huh.
The seaweed connect to a necklace on his head?
Oh, that happens. That's an easy question. I'll take that one. It's like if you go in swimming in the ocean and there's lots of seaweed, it just sort of gets wrapped around you.
Oh, wow.
I love this too.
Look, is that Dad? Either that or Batman's really let himself go.
I also like that part when we start just brushing their teeth. It's so realistic. It's nice.
And they're not that astonished.
No, I know. A ship with people. I know. I'll bring them to me.
Now,
no, there are people with teeth.
What Homer's doing here is fairly demented, and he really kind of went from 0 to 160.
He's mad quite quickly. He does.
That guy riding the boat?
That's the sea captain, and I guess his first mate, because we don't often see him really
usually
captaining a ship. Yeah. It's impressive. That's a real freighter, too.
These are the easiest things to animate, I should say.
Oh, the sea captains often have squinty eyes. I guess is that based on Popeye, I would assume? is the original squinty-eyed sailor. And it's also from years of looking at the sea and salt water.
Right, in the sun, without sunglasses, in the old days. Yeah,
that's
R.
How can that light work that way?
That light right there?
Yeah.
Looks like it's an oil light, oil lamp.
But how can she do that?
Because she must have lit it before she walked in, and then she turned up the flame. Jim, anything special in that lamp?
I do remember it was a gag coming up that got cut, I think, when the light is busted, and that she has to go and get the cardboard box that has the replacement light in it.
That's coming.
Right, but I think, if I remember correctly, she says, like, oh, why don't people ever throw these... throw away the one that's empty, and then she puts the empty one back in the closet and closes
right,
the door.
That's right, we have to cut this.
What are they doing in there?
In the other room?
Yeah.
Behind us? We're not supposed to talk about that. No, those are the people, all the people who record it and organize the DVDs and organize everything, and it's the soundboard, too, where they mix all the sound and us talking, so it sounds just right. That's a good question.
The Venus and Mars joke took us a really long time, and we had a contest to come up with the punchline for that one. What did it take, about an hour and a half?
Something
like that.
A lot of these jokes, I remember.
It was a real drag. I think there was $20 for the person who...
That's right. Very occasionally, when we'd be really desperate, the money would come out for jokes.
They're starting to turn.
Because he's on the ship. Now, I will say, realistically, nautically, a lot of shipwrecks happen because ships don't have enough room to turn. Ships need a huge amount of room to turn, so it's very real. It's realistic.
I like that the hot pants are in wooden crates also. It's kind of old school that way.
Trivia note, the short song was written by Al Cooper, who was the original music director of the band that I'm in, the Rock Bottom Remainders, with Stephen King and Dave Barry and Amy Tannen. So it's all ties together.
Is that Al Cooper with a K?
Yeah.
That Al Cooper. Wow.
Yeah, the Al Cooper, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
Great musician.
Did he give you a break on the rate for using the song?
I think
those were hot
straight through the roof.
You don't remember hot pants, but I barely remember them. But it, like 30 years ago, it was a big fad where people wore really short pants, and they're called hot pants. And then they did the crazy song based on it called Short Shorts.
Well, that was even before that. That was like 60s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you guys for helping. That was fun.
That's why we do what we do.